Well, this morning, we're going to talk about prayer. Paul's going to talk about prayer in our scripture this morning, so we're going to talk about prayer. Recently, we just wrapped up that 40 days of prayer, a week or week and a half ago, or that challenge that I had made. As we were going through that 40 days or of focused prayer, really, needed prayer for each other, for the church, for the community. I sent out the text messages. I sent out the posts on Facebook and the Instagrams and all that. Anybody experience anything in those 40 days of prayer? Anybody realize anything? No? I did. It was nice to be able to share in prayer. Hopefully there was more prayer than just those little nuggets that I sent out, over those 40 days. But it's nice to get people on the same page a little bit to do this together and pull everything together. Why is prayer so important? What's prayer all about? Talking to God. What else? It's not just about asking Him? No. I mean, we can do that, right? We can ask God things that we want, that we need. Hopefully it's the other way around, that we need and we want, not just the wants and stuff. But yeah, what else? Why is prayer so important? Spending time with God. So that means you're giving up something if you're spending that time. Time is one of those most valuable things that we have. We can spend money like crazy, which some of us do at times, right? And you can go and make more money, right? Hopefully. One way or another, hopefully you can find more money, if you're going to be spending like that anyway. But can you make more time is what I'm getting at. Once you spend your time, once you give your time away, it's gone. That's how precious that is. And that's what a lot of folks just don't realize until, kids don't appreciate that, right? That you guys will someday, trust me. That time is so precious. And when you give that to God, you're giving Him something valuable. You're saying, I want you to have this. And that's what we do right here together as well. We're giving each other time. We're giving that time to God. So what else is prayer about? Why is it so important? That's a great one. Anything else? Keep us focused on what we should. Exactly. Exactly. All these things put together and so much more. Prayer is more than just asking God. It's more than just the genie thing, I want more time with so-and-so, or my family, or I want a better job, or I want a better car, or I want, it's more than just rubbing that lamp. No, it's keeping us focused. Because if we're talking to God, hopefully, the more we spend time with Him, that precious time, the more we focus in on what? What we want or what He wants? Hopefully it's what He wants. Why should we pray? I mean, God knows our hearts and minds, right? He knows everything about us. He knows what's on our hearts and minds before we do. Matter of fact, He knows the words of our groans. He knows what we need right there, right? So why pray to Him? Well, Scripture says over and over again, do it. How many times in Scripture do we see commands to pray? Pray for each other. Pray for your enemies. Yeah. Yeah. Matter of fact, Jesus says, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father, which art in heaven, right? Pray over and over. How about the fact that Jesus prayed to God, to the Father, over and over? He did it a lot. Often he'd go off alone just to have that alone time with his Father. He was giving his precious time, and his was very precious, right? He'd pray early in the morning, it said. We know he prayed late at night, especially that last night before the cross. So Jesus prayed. I think that would be a great example for us, reason why. Prayer is how we communicate with God. It says, have you ever been so close with someone that you know how they're feeling without them even saying a word? Just by being in their presence, you know something's wrong. Or you know they're doing all right. Or you even know if they're up to something. You know, it's not all bad stuff, right? Let's flip that a little bit. So if you've got a relationship with someone like that, where you guys know each other so well that you know each other's feelings, you know how each other's doing, have you ever just wanted to let it out? You know, whatever that is that you've got pinned up, you know, and you just want to pop the cork and let it out so that it's not contained anymore. That's that relationship with God. He knows it. He knows what's on our hearts and minds. So when we got problems, why hide them? Why keep them in? You can't hide them from God. So why try? But at the same time, if you've got praises, you got stuff that you need to be thanking Him about, why keep that to yourself too? God, thank you for everything you've done for me. Communication. And it's that special relationship. The more we pray with God, the more we spend in time with God, the more we get that focus that, like Pam was talking about, we get in tune with His will. Because ultimately, it's not about us, right? I mean, that's what we learn, where we stand, actually. You know, where our place is in the grand scheme of things. It's not about me. It's not about us. I mean, it's about God. Spending time with Him, learning His Word, but also, you know, spending that time focusing on Him and then listening, which is the problem that we often have, is taking that time to listen. You know, we learn His will. And as we learn His will, hopefully our will starts getting more in tune with His as well. That's what prayer is all about, is getting on the same page with God. We can ask and ask and ask, but if we're not in tune with God, we're kind of asking in vain. Prayer is our direct channel to the best listener ever. You can talk to your friends, you can talk to your spouses, you can talk to somebody you're paying to listen to you, which is fine, all of that. But the best listener ever is right there at the drop of a hat whenever you need him. Prayer reminds us of all of these things. So, and ultimately, it's about humbleness when we start realizing where we are with God. You know, all He's done for us, all that He cares about. And when our will starts turning towards Him, humbleness. So if we get into our scripture, just keep that prayer in mind. Keep that it's about prayer. So let's turn to our scripture. It's Ephesians 1, beginning at verse 15. It's on page 153 of the New Testament section of your pew Bibles. By the way, this entire passage is only two sentences. And it's kind of difficult to follow, but we're going to break it down once we go through it. Paul says, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He was raised from the dead, when He raised Him from the dead, and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Notice something Paul does here. He says, I do not cease to remember you in my prayers. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers always. This isn't the only time in Scripture where Paul uses something like that, where he's talking about, you're continually in my prayers. I never, you know. It's in Romans, it's in his letters to the Corinthians, and other places as well. Paul seemed like quite the prayer warrior, didn't he? I mean, as we read through Scripture and more that we get to know about Paul through his word, through his letters to the churches, this is a guy who knew how to pray. This is a prayer warrior. I never cease giving thanks for you, remembering you constantly in my prayers. That has to make people feel good, doesn't it? When you realize that you're in their prayers. Constantly. Notice also why he continually gave thanks for them. First and foremost, it wasn't because of the works they were doing. It wasn't because of how many people they were serving. First and foremost, it was what? It's their love for Jesus. He's recognizing, remember, this is a church that Paul pastored for a while. So they probably have kind of a special, soft spot in his heart anyway. And that their continued faith in Jesus, growing faith maybe even. He's like, first and foremost, it was about Jesus. As people come to Christ, and I want you to think of it this way. If you have somebody or a group somewhere that you've been praying for, you've been working on, you've been keeping an eye on, that need to know God, that need to know the Lord, and you just keep praying to Him and praying to Him. Remember, Jesus says, keep praying. Don't give up, If you think that you're annoying God, keep praying. God can take it, right? And then when they turn, when they repent, when they turn to God, how does it make you feel? Hopefully good, right? That faith in Jesus. That's ultimately what it's about. And remember, the celebration in heaven, over one person that comes to Christ is huge. That one lost sheep that came back. That valuable thing that was found. Their celebration. So Paul is celebrating their continued love in Jesus. And then secondly, what he's thankful about was their love for each other. It had nothing to do with the unbelievers right now. He says, because of your love for all the saints. Who are the saints? Go ahead.
We all are.
Yeah. Don't hold back. You're doing all right. Yeah. It's not a title bestowed on one person in this case, This is everybody in Christ. Thankful for your love for all the saints. So now we're talking about our local body, our church body. We're talking about the church. Love and compassion for each and every one of them. So they must have been doing some good stuff. I keep you in my prayers, thanking you for all this. That's how much he cares about these two things. This is everything wrapped together. Jesus said, what? He says, people will know you are mine by what? The way you love one another. A new commandment I give you. Love each other as I have loved you. But they'll know you are mine because of the way you love one another. And they must have been practicing what Jesus was preaching. Probably because it was preached to them by Paul too. It's focus. It's huge. Excuse me. So we need to keep each other in our prayers. Not just us, you know, not just praying for our friends, but praying for our church. Praying for the church, like what Paul's mentioning here. Praying for other ministries. Kingdom Hearts Ministries is a great one to start with right now, too. Praying for other churches. Praying for missionaries. Praying for those that are in persecuted areas or oppressed areas. Keeping all of them in your prayers. Continually. How do we pray continually? Never ceasing to give thanks, but remembering you in my prayers. And he often says, always remembering. I guess just be ready to pray at a drop of a hat, right? God lays something on your heart, give it back in prayer. Give it back to him. Then Paul goes on and he gives some specific things that he's praying for this church and for his friends in the Ephesians church. But I think he's praying them for us. And we can pray this on each other as well. Look at the things that he's praying for. It's wisdom and revelation. If I can get the word out. Wisdom and revelation. And the knowledge of him. And the knowledge of who? God. Jesus. Remember? Turning our will towards him. Getting us in tune with him. It says that you may know the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God and having your eyes and hearts enlightened. And you can have... Is it possible, and I'm going to say yes, by the way. This is rhetorical. To have a heart for God, but then you're blind to other things. Yeah. Is it possible to have this great wisdom but not have the heart for where it needs to be? Yes. So he's asking for both, that you have the knowledge, you know, the heart that needs to be right there, but then also the sight that you need, the foresight, the knowledge, however you want to put it, put together so that it's one package and used for God's glory. That you may have that revelation, that aha, that deep knowledge of God. The deep things of God. Having your eyes and hearts enlightened that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. Every one of us has a calling. Every one of us has a calling. It's not a calling isn't just, hey, you're going to stand in front of a church on Sunday mornings. No. Missionaries are called into the field. Yeah, preachers are called into the ministry. People are called into service. People are called into be prayer warriors. We all have gifts that God has blessed us with that matches our calling. That we need to find, that we need to fine tune as well, and we need to get on board with that and see what it is. And that's what he's saying, that you may know what the hope is. Through that calling, because he gives us hope through that. Recognize your calling is kind of what he's saying. Use it to my glory, or use it to God's glory, because this is Paul saying it, right? That you may be a blessing to God, and you know what? You bless God. God's economics, you know, the return on investment there is huge. So we all have that call, and we all have hope through that call. But then he also reminds us about the riches of his glorious inheritance. Last week we talked about that inheritance a little bit. That we're joint heirs with Jesus. What those things that Jesus inherited as being a son of God, Well, you know what? We've been called into that joint heirship or whatever. That sounds like an airplane. Let's not use that one, all right? Joint heirs with Jesus, right? So what's part of that inheritance? Well, eternity with the Father. Blessings. Burdens. Jesus had many burdens. You know what? We inherited those as well. Burdens for each other. Burdens for the lost. Some of those things don't sound that good, but they are, because those burdens show we care. When we pick up those burdens, carry that cross with them. But it all points back to this glorious inheritance in the saints and the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believes. He gives us grace. He gives us help. He gives us the Spirit, right, to lead us and guide us. And it's immeasurable. Notice this. Can God be put in a container? Can you even guesstimate how big God is? Well, no. God is immeasurable. His glory, His passion for us is immeasurable. His love for us is immeasurable. And He will be there. Oh, what did Jesus say? To the end of the age, I will be with you. I'm there helping you every step of the way. So Paul is praying this on the Ephesian church. How would you like people praying this on you? All of this stuff. I hope you would. Reminders of what it is we're here for. That it's not about us. This is all about God. This is God's stuff. God's will in our lives. Blessing others through us. And Paul also, that I don't have up there, reminds us a little bit about just how this all comes about. Let me pick it up at verse 20. Because he's talking about the working of His great might. Actually, that's the end of verse 19. The working of His great might. Talking about God, that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named. In other words, you know, He gave Jesus as this example for us. He gave Jesus as this leader for us and set Him above anybody and everybody in the heavenly realms. Remember, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world," right? It's not here. There's a different ruler here. Scripture tells us that too. We want to be under the other ruler. The not of this world ruler. Name above all names, as it says in Scripture too. No one is above Jesus. And if we're joint heirs with Jesus, then we're part of that. No one is above us except God. I mean, that's one of those different ones, by the way. You know? Called into that family. He says, Jesus is over all of this. And if you're under Him, you're mine. I care. I'll help. And Paul prayed this without ceasing and continually kept them in this kind of prayer. The Roman church, the Ephesian church, the Corinthian church, the church that was to come, us. Pray this kind of prayer over your friends, over your family, over your church, over our country, over... Just pray this kind of prayer. That your eyes may be opened. That you may be seeing this. Excuse me. So keep praying. Never ceasing. Pray for yourselves too in all that mix. Don't forget yourself. It's all right to pray for yourself. It's not greed. It's not vain. We need a little extra oomph once in a while, right? God, give me strength. Give me wisdom. How about a favorite? Give me patience. Especially for parents and stuff like that, you know? But pray for yourselves, pray for your families, each other. For our church and the church. And remember what is the key to great prayer? The greatest key to prayer. What is that key? Practice? Okay. There's more than that. Pray in faith, pray in power, and pray in belief that God is listening and God will... Pray like you believe, not like, but you know, I don't know what other word to use here. Like you know God is listening and you know God is going to answer that prayer. That's praying in power. That's praying in belief. That's praying in faith. So let's close in prayer right now. Father, we thank you so much for that gift of prayer. That communication, that line right to you. We thank you for others that are praying for us as well. That we may not even ever know. So Father, keep our hearts open. Keep our spirit on fire for you. But keep that passion going as well to pray for others. Pray for their glory. Pray for their wisdom, their strength. And pray for their ministries that we are all called into. I pray for those that may not know their calling yet, that they seek it and grab onto it and use it for your glory. Give them that urge, that need, that want. Father, thank you for the ability just to share with each other that spirit that you put inside each and every one of us. That spirit of joy, that spirit of concern, that spirit of brotherly love. And be that example of Christ that we may love one another. That way everyone will know that we are His. And know that this is really what we're about. And what we're really about ultimately is you. You are our heart, you are our soul, you are our God. And we thank you so much for all that you've done for us. Keep leading us, keep guiding us. And help us keep seeing those burdens as a blessing, not as a curse. Burden of caring for and loving others. Help us keep going. Father, we thank you so much for all that you've already done for us and that you will continue to do for us and through us. Hear our prayers and help us continually seek you in prayer. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for His service. We thank you for His sacrifice. We thank you for that payment that came at the cost of His life. That we can have that hope, that eternity in heaven with you and Him and each other. Father, we just thank you. We love you. And we pray all of this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.